So, last time, I haven't sent this picture.
No, not yet.
Okay, yeah, send it to me because, yeah, Jeff needs to see him. There are a whole lot of problems there.
Right.
I want to put those problems online so I make
them
like a whole lot of practice with the draft gamma matrices. So, let me see. I suppose the thing to do is to just launch ahead with the Dirac equation.
Yes.
So, just one thing that you said a minute ago, particles would leak out of existence, don't they? Aren't there ways that particles just kind of annihilate themselves? And
they'll lose the energy, though.
So you get...
Yeah, it'd be
you get a
real
photon,
and you know, you'd have an electron there now, and nothing to show for it tomorrow.
So you know that there is no complex term in the Schrödinger equation.
Yeah, it would be like inventing last fall. Gone.
Well, the money there in the first place.
Yeah,
the money that were there. Something is valuable. So people want to buy it, but if there's no people want to buy it, it's worthless. You know, so it's not like there's any cash behind it. You know.
Yeah, okay.
So Schrödinger is safe.
Schrödinger is safe. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
As are all the actors. Except for the Dirac action. All right. Typically, we write I bar I d slash minus phi. And that's not quite real. Often you'll see plus the complex conjugate to make it real. There are various ways you can do this. The thing is, if you vary this, you get the right field equation much more simply than if you have the complex conjugate. Let's go ahead and do it correctly. The two only differ by a surface term. But I could add, I think that symbol was. How do we define that? Zero with a minus sign?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then I think that'll work. So, did we define it with a half or not? Yeah, okay. So, if I have B mu, F G, that means F B mu G minus. G D mu F that what we did for ordinary definition.
Oh, okay.
So let me write out F. We have and psi bar I'm going to define a whole bunch of things here. Psi bar is defined as gamma zero by conjugate. D slash is defined as gamma mu D mu summed over the four gamma matrices. So now I think we can interpret what I wrote. What we have is phi bar I D slash minus M phi. Then we're going to have minus d mu psi bar I gamma mu minus m psi. Now, plus there, plus m psi. Okay, I think that's right. Well, I should probably motivate a bit of this.
What we'd like is, let's just have an aside and talk about why. Okay, what are we doing here? We have defined, back to the gamma mu. Recall that we defined gamma mu to be matrices that satisfy A to B mu times the identity. So we argued and assigned a bunch of problems that will prove that these gammas can be built out of 4x4 matrices, complex matrices, and furthermore, we showed that if we let sigma mu nu be 1/8, is that right, the commutator? So you take the commutator of two of those matrices. Okay. So we let sigma be that. Then a linear combination of these where the W mu nu is just some real anti-symmetric matrix. Is a Lorentz transformation. Okay, so how do we prove that? We proved that by computing the commutators of the sigmas. And the commutators of the sigmas satisfy the Lie algebra of the Lorentz group. So just brute force proof, we used only this property of the gammas to prove that the commutator of two sigmas is the same as for the Lorentz generators where we used, when we looked at SO31, right, the Lorentz group. The commutation relations for those matrices is the same as for these, but these are complex matrices. These act on some complex vector space, and as I say, we proved that vector space should be four-dimensional. Totally unrelated to the dimensionality of space-time. It just happens to come out four. We have some four-dimensional complex vector space that these act on. So four-dimensional complex vector space. Let's call it a collection of things. I'll give them a Greek name. So phi prime is going to be e to the f w mu nu sigma mu nu phi. So now I have some objects on which these Lorentz transformations connect. Okay, well, that's all quite abstract, but we've proved it. The thing that we really need to know is how those transformations act on, say, a space-time vector. And we can show that if I take let me just see if we can pass this from here, because I'd like to get it right if I can. Yeah. Bar. We want bar.
Oh, he's even got this in the chat, for what do you know?
Except for some reason, he's got to work.
Oh, well.
Can show that pi r gamma mu pi transcends the vector. Let's call this u. So if I replace phi by psi prime, okay, so I do what most appropriately we would call a Lorentz transformation of this complex four vector, then I can use that to find u mu prime is psi bar prime gamma mu psi bar, psi prime, a new four vector. And the components of this will be exactly a Lorentz transformation of the original components. Well, there are a bunch of exercises there, I'd say. I should probably run through one. Shall we run through one? You want to see how that works? We better do an example. Let's work out a bunch of examples. Okay. Who was here last time? Jeff and Neil were missing, so it's going to seem strange until you can catch up with the last lecture. We talked a lot about the gamma matrices. We proved all of this last time. A good hour and a half, 2 hours doing that. So, that's the piece that's missing here. Don't panic, we can fill that in. But let's find some gamma. Let's see. So we have to satisfy gamma mu, gamma nu, mu, eta mu, nu. Again. Okay, where eta mu, nu, we're going to use Maggiore's convention. Let's let gamma 1 be a 4x4 built out of some Pauli matrices. Maybe with an I. Then, if I square that, right, notice this means gamma 1, gamma 2, and gamma 3 have to square to minus the identity. Well, if I square this matrix, I get the I squared to minus 1, so I get minus sigma 1 squared. 0, 0, minus sigma 1 squared. And we know the Pauli matrices squared of 1, so this is minus the 2x2 identity is minus the identity. So that one's okay. So we've got one that works. We just have to pick three more that anti-commute with that. Well, we know the Pauli matrices anti-commute. So I wonder if we could take similar things for any two of the Pauli matrices. Let's try it. So if I take gamma I to be I, sigma I. Let's try that. Got this book? So if I take gamma I, gamma j, that's I, sigma I, times I, sigma j, plus the same thing with I and j interchanged. that gives me, okay, this column times that row is minus sigma I sigma j. Now, is it clear what I mean when I write these things? I mean, the Pauli matrices are 2 by 2. The gammas are 4 by 4. I'm just breaking the gammas into 4 2 by 2 pieces. It's just a short way to write a 4 by 4 matrix. Okay, so then we get 0 here, then we get this column into that row is 0, and then down here, minus sigma I, sigma j. Then we're going to add minus sigma j, sigma I. All I have to do is interchange I and j to get the antinomic matrix. So, this is just minus sigma I, sigma j, plus sigma j, sigma I. And that's just what we need, right? Because we know that the product of two Pauli matrices, sigma I, sigma j, is the product for I, j, plus I, epsilon I, j, k, sigma k. So when I symmetrize this, I get 2 times the product of delta. The epsilon is anti-symmetric in ij, so that term, that part goes away. So the anti-commutator of two Pauli matrices is twice product of ij. So here I can write this as minus 2 product of ij times the 4 by 4 identity matrix. For I and j equal 1, 2, 3. So I've got 3 of them now. That was quick. Now I need one more matrix that squares 2 plus 1, and it has to anti-commute with all 3 of these. I wonder what would do that. Let's try something diagonal. Let's see, what if I take gamma 0 equal, let's see. Let's try 1 minus and see what that does. We get, it squares to the 4 by 4 identity, so that part works. If I take the anti-commutator of gamma 0 with itself, I'm going to get twice the identity, so that part's good. What happens if I take gamma 0, gamma I? I'm guessing here. I don't know if this is going to work or not. But so we have 1 minus 1 with I, sigma I, sigma I. Plus the other order. I, sigma I with identity minus identity. So we multiply that out, which gives us 0 minus I sigma I. This gives us I sigma I 0. Then this one gives me, this looks good, I sigma I minus I sigma I, and that's 0. So we've got a set. There's a set of gamma matrices. Now I have not just done one of your homework problems for you, I expect you to find different ones. So we have a set, and you know, this is a handy set. So let's look at this thing that I claimed was a vector. It's psi bar gamma mu phi. is it real? I may need an I here. Let's see. Let's take the complex conjugate of this. And remember, this has phi star gamma 0 gamma mu phi in it. Okay, first off, what is that gamma zero doing in there? These gammas and their products, their commutators, they're transformation matrices. So gamma alpha. Gamma alpha is some matrix. Gamma alpha A B, where A and B are 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, it's some 4 by 4 matrix. Psi is some vector. So when I act with gamma alpha on psi, what that means is I take the matrix gamma alpha AB and I'm going to multiply by psi B. Now, I want to form something that is a scalar in this four-dimensional complex space. That means I need something with an index down. If I take psi star is just some other vector. Right? It's got components, you know, 1 through 4. What I need is a metric. And when I write gamma zero separately like this, when I write gamma zero along with, you know, as one of these gamma alphas, it's a transformation matrix. But gamma zero also doubles as a metric. So when it appears singly like this, you should think of it as being some covariant, doubly covariant thing like that. It's serving the purpose of a metric here. And so this U alpha ends up having the right kind of index structure. I've got some B, I've got gamma zero, BC, I've got gamma alpha, CD, psi D, and you see that this is a scalar in the complex four-dimensional sense. Right? We've contracted off all the indices on all of the vectors and matrices, tensors, in that space. So that's a scalar for each alpha. Alpha is a space-time index. A, B, C, D are spinner indices. They're indices in this four-dimensional complex space. So we can have tensors in either space. So this is at least the right kind of free index. Now, what we want to do is let's first see whether that's real. So I've got U alpha conjugate. And let's see, what do I do? Well, we flip the order of everything and take conjugates or add points. So I'm going to have psi d, that'll be conjugated, or conjugate d, I guess. Psi conjugate d. Then we'll have this gamma alpha dagger. That involves the transpose, so I get the dc. Then I have a gamma zero, d, and then the conjugate of the conjugate is psi d. All right, well, don't know if that's the same thing or not. What is gamma alpha dagger? Let's look at those. For gamma I dagger, what happens? Right, the gamma I's are these things. Gamma I dagger is going to be, I've got a minus I sigma I dagger. Okay, that's the transpose. The sigma go to sigma. But here I get minus I sigma I dagger. And the Pauli matrices are Hermitian. So I get minus I sigma I. That's minus gamma I. So the gammas in the particular choice I've made are anti-Hermitian. Minus gamma I. Gamma zero, Dagger, is gamma zero. Right. That's obvious. It's just diagonal identity. Nothing fancy there. Real symmetric. So, look at what happens if I take gamma zero, gamma I dagger, gamma zero. That's equal to gamma zero, minus gamma zero, gamma I, gamma zero. Then, if I interchange gamma zero and gamma I, what do I get?
I get a sign change. So that becomes plus gamma zero, gamma zero, gamma I. Gamma zero squared is the plus one, so this is gamma I. So I can use gamma zero to turn gamma I dagger into gamma I. Then U alpha conjugate is going to be what? I have phi star, I have gamma alpha dagger, I have gamma zero, I have phi, and I can stick, let's also look at gamma zero dagger, gamma zero. What is that? Gamma zero dagger is just gamma zero, then it squares to one, so I just get gamma zero. So in fact, I have this relationship for all four, right? So what I want to do is stick in gamma zero squared, that's the identity. Then I have gamma alpha dagger, gamma zero, phi, and now I look at that triple. That triple is just gamma alpha. And then this gamma zero with that phi is phi bar, and we have gamma alpha, and that's U. So U is real. Question.
When you said psi going to psi prime, you meant the complex conjugate then? Is that?
Star. An asterisk is a complex conjugate. Prime was the Lorentz transformation, I think.
Oh, okay.
Right? I was acting with e, the exponential of the sigma.
Okay.
That's
okay.
The Lorentz transformation. That's just some other.
Okay.
So, so that's what we would like to figure out here is, does this actually give a Lorentz transformation? Let's see. Well, the answer is yeah. We may have to compute a bit to prove that. Any other questions here? Blowing up yet?
But you said gamma zero can take a Hermitian matrix, or wait, what did you say the use of gamma zero is in this case?
These relationships here show us that gamma zero, gamma alpha, dagger, gamma zero gives us gamma alpha. For alpha equals 0, 1, 2, or 3, for all four of them, it can turn the Hermitian conjugate back in with an unconjugated thing. Even though the gamma i's, gamma dagger, brings in a minus sign, the commutation with the gamma 0 fixes that. And then it doesn't play a role if it's gamma 0, and it doesn't need to, so everything works out just right. So gamma 0 is a great choice for getting rid of conjugates. In fact, that's another way to see that we really want to have a zero in here, so that we can build real things this way.
More questions? All right, then phi prime is e to the half w mu nu sigma mu nu acting on phi, and we want to define u alpha prime to be u calculated using gamma prime. What we'd like to know is whether that turns out to be a Lorentz transformation lambda acting on u beta. You know, that's what we really want to have happen here. But it's not at all obvious that that's what's going to happen, but ultimately that's what's going to happen. Let's see how we could show this without spending the next 2.5 days doing it. Let's see. We could do an infinitesimal case. All right. Let's look at that. We know that lambda alpha beta u beta is going to be delta alpha beta plus some epsilon alpha beta u beta, where epsilon alpha beta is just raising an index on mu beta, and epsilon mu beta is anti-symmetric. Okay, everybody remember those facts about Lorentz transformation, infinitesimal Lorentz transformation. So anti-symmetric generators raise it with eta, that changes the sign that gives you boosts in the right places. So some of these are symmetric and some parts are anti-symmetric, and those are rotations and boosts. Okay, let's look at an infinitesimal one of these. Okay, e to the 1/2 w mu nu sigma mu nu is about equal to the identity plus 1/2 w mu nu sigma mu nu, and this is some matrix. Okay, fine. What matrix? I suppose we need to compute those. Let's not compute them all. Let's do one. Let's look at sigma 0i. That up to normalization, I think it's been an 8, but let's not worry about the normalization. As the commutator of gamma 0 is gamma I, and so we need the product of 1 minus 1 with off diagonal I sigma I, minus, same thing in the opposite order, sigma 0i is going to be, okay, I want to multiply these so I get a minus I sigma I in this corner, and I get I sigma I in that corner. Then I'm going to subtract, let's see, 0 I sigma I here, and minus I sigma I up there, too many I's around. So I just get minus 2i times sigma I minus sigma I. Something like that.
I know that well. You could put the minus sign in. Okay, 2i times that matrix. All right, what transformations are we talking about here? I mean, if there's any justice in the world, these are the boosts, right? We're missing a time and a space coordinate. Those ought to be the boosts. If I did an ij, those ought to be the spatial rotations. So let's see what happens. Then phi prime is going to be the identity plus a half w, say, 0i, sigma 0i. So some linear combination of those. And what's that look like? Right, we've got identity. We can write it from 2x2 identities here. Then if I take a half times the two of these, I've got W0i, there's an I, sigma I here, and minus I, W0i, sigma I there. Let's let W sigma I be equal to, what is it? It's probably the rapidity times a vector in the direction of the boost. That's what I'm betting. In any case, I can pull out an amplitude times a unit vector. So n squared is 1. So I just want to write this has three indices. Let me just write it as a unit vector times some amplitude. Then this acting on sun, sorry. Some complex vector. What do we want to do? We want to compute this thing here. So I can write phi prime as phi plus this matrix, the off-diagonal matrix here. Zeta over 2. And then I've got n dot sigma off-diagonal. Zeros on the diagonal acting on psi. So far it's okay. Yeah, this is the point when I should take that. Will this work? Will we pull it out? Let's look at you off the prime. Okay, this is phi prime gamma alpha phi. And sorry, phi bar prime. let's see, we're going to need phi bar prime, right? It's the dagger of all this. So there's going to be a phi bar from this that zeta is real. Then we need, right, the dagger of this thing, that's going to go on the other side. I have to worry about where the conjugate. This is wrong, there's a minus sign here.
Did we just put the I into the
I?
We can just put it in there if we want to.
Now it's Hermitian. Okay. Yeah, that's Hermitian. It should be Hermitian.
Okay.
Good.
Right.
We're going to need that. Okay. Good job. Yeah, and just, let's see. It takes the time to get to it. All right. We still need to define Firefox. Right, that define prime conjugate gamma 0 and prime prime conjugate is identity or I prime over 2 minus n dot sigma n dot sigma this acting on phi conjugate. And that is going to be phi conjugate, then the dagger of all of this, I beta, let's put it in beta, beta over 2. Dagger, just forget a minus sign, but that's offset by the minus. This is Hermitian, so we just get the same thing here. Okay. There we go. So, U alpha prime is going to be phi star. Then we have identity plus I beta over 2. N dot sigma minus N dot sigma gamma 0 gamma alpha and then psi prime is 1 plus I zeta over 2 minus N dot sigma N dot sigma times I. So what happens, right, we want to compare this to U beta. Remember, U beta is, we have a psi star and a psi. I can stick a pair of gamma zeros in here. So let me do that. Let's call this a psi bar. And we have gamma 0, 1 plus I, beta over 2, minus n dot sigma, gamma 0, gamma alpha, 1 plus I. Okay, so I've gotten psi bar separated out. Now let's see, what do these gamma zeros do? Remember what this thing was. This was the linear combination of sigma zero I. So a pair of gamma zeros. Let's just do it. A pair of gamma zeros is easy to multiply out. So, let's just see what that is. You can use tricks, but... Okay, so gamma zero with our matrix minus n dot sigma, gamma zero. What's that going to be? That's identity minus identity n dot sigma identity minus identity. So let's see, we get n dot sigma, and then we're going to get n dot sigma down here. We're just going to get an overall minus sign, right? Minus. So that's minus the original thing.
Okay. So we have phi bar. Then we've just gotten rid of these two gamma zeros. On the one, they just go away because gamma zero squares for one. And so we just have one minus I beta over 2 minus n dot sigma n dot sigma gamma alpha 1 plus I beta over 2 minus n dot sigma n dot sigma. Well, finally, this is distributive law here.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Let's see, the square brackets where you star them, and then you do the transpose. Where?
That's a matrix acting on a. So I've got some matrix acting on a vector. The complex conjugate of that is the vector conjugate acted on by the conjugate transpose.
Okay. Okay. I haven't. I guess there's a couple steps in there. I can just go through.
Seems like it ought to be right. Isn't that right? Let's see. If I want IJ conjugate, that's M conjugate IJ Psi J conjugate. I can write that as Psi J conjugate M J I conjugate transpose is Psi conjugate M.
Okay.
So I'm allowed to put M on the other side if I dagger it.
Okay. So did we dagger it when we moved it?
Yeah. Where did it go here? This is Hermitian.
Oh, right. Okay. Sorry.
Pressing on. Oh, here was our... So that was our infinitesimal branch transformation that I just erased. Never mind. We'll find it again. U alpha plus. Right? If I go ahead and multiply all that stuff out, remember it's infinitesimal. So I'm going to have psi bar gamma alpha psi plus some correction terms. Let's write the correction as gamma alpha. There's going to be a zeta over 2 times the whole thing. Then I'll have a then I have this matrix minus n dot sigma n dot sigma. Then this one in gamma and 1 gives me minus 2 in the opposite order. Like that. Plus higher order stuff that we're throwing out. So we need the commutator of gamma with this thing. Alright, so let's see, what do our gammas look like? With gamma 0, alright, this is a commutator of gamma alpha with our matrix M. Let's just call this thing M. Gamma 0 is 1 minus 1. Minus n dot sigma explain it, then that's sigma. Is twice.
Yeah.
So far, so good. How about gamma I gets M? What happens there? Now we have I sigma I minus N dot sigma, N dot sigma. We need a commutator. This is going to be minus I. Let's call it N sub J. Then we'll have sigma I, sigma J for these two. Then 0 here. Then here, 0. And then here we get I, N sub J, sigma I, sigma J. Now in the opposite order, we're going to get I, N sub J, and this will be sigma J, sigma I. So, yeah, this turns into, well, looks like an anti-commutator action. Okay, so we get 0 and minus I, M, J, sigma J, sigma I. And what is that? We get two minus signs here, we get two plus signs there. Sigma I, sigma J, plus sigma J, sigma I is twice Kronecker. Right? That's the symmetric part. So we have an overall, there's going to be an I and J. We're going to get twice Kronecker IJ. And then minus identity up here. And plus identity down there. Does everybody see it? Got it? Okay. All right. So there are the commutators. This was empty 2 and empty 3, didn't we? We went through this first part of the term when we were talking about SO3 and FU3. Mm-hmm. FU2, I mean. Showing that FU2 could do a rotation on a 3 vector. This is the same calculation with 4 vectors and spin 3-1. Okay, so this whole thing up top, U alpha prime, becomes U alpha plus I theta over 2. Then this commutator, it gives us two things. Let me break this into components. Sorry, let's take U0 prime is U0 plus I theta over 2. I might be theta. Then we get the gamma 0 M commutator, which we decided was 2 times M, that's minus M dot sigma N dot sigma. And that's U0 plus I. That's a little better to hit. Okay. I lost there's a psi bar here. Right? So the brackets all the time. Okay. U I prime is U I. Let's see. We get a 2 and we have a half, so we're going to have
the I, but then we pulled out an I here, so there's an overall minus.
Yeah. There's a 5R. There's 2NJ. Oh, yeah, it becomes 2NI. So there's an NI in here. And then we have minus 1 sum. They get all the coefficients right, okay, 2in, times that, we get minus zeta n. Okay, so far so good. What do we expect? This is equal to ui plus ni phi bar gamma 0 phi. This one up here, let's see, u 0 prime, let's see if we can recognize that as anything. That looks like a gamma 0 times minus n dot sigma n dot sigma. It's two of those, right? But isn't that just what we get if we multiply gamma 0 times gamma I? The gamma 0 is just a 1 minus 1. Gamma I is I sigma. Oh, there's an extra.
Minus
2i here. Then this is minus 2i, and we get minus I sigma I and I sigma I. So if I make it plus 2i, then that one's plus, no, I'm sure that's minus, right? Right in the first place. So these two give a minus sigma I, and the minus I give a plus sigma I. Dot that with n. So this term I can write as a zero tooth cancel. I have I beta phi bar. Then this matrix we just said I could write as minus 2i gamma 0 gamma I. And then we have a phi. Yeah, okay, so plus twice, so much like that factor of 2.
Is it just a factor then? Or
what's that?
Is it just a factor to get rid of the 2 or something? Or
well,
what is zeta supposed to be?
Yeah, I lost the zeta here. Now, this, it must be the same factor on both pieces. Yeah, there are a couple things that don't seem to be working quite right. That factor of 2 doesn't look so high. Oh, I've already put that factor of 2. It's not there. So that factor of 2 is the one I canceled here. So there isn't a factor of 2. I'm a little worried about the gamma 0. What's happening with the gamma 0? Let's
Hmm. Yeah, we may have to work this out. It almost looks like we're getting into it, but we're not quite there. But we need to write this as a matrix acting on you. Let's let N be a unit vector in the X direction. Let's just do a boost in the X direction. Then, if psi is equal to alpha, beta, mu, nu, where those are four complex numbers, then let's just figure this out. We have mu 0 is equal to alpha, let me just use bars. Now, better use the conjugate. The bar means something else now. So, conjugate, then gamma 0, alpha, beta, mu. This makes that into a psi bar. Then we have sandwich gamma 0 with a psi. Well, that's just squared with 1. So this is going to be alpha star alpha plus beta plus mu star mu plus mu star mu. Well, we said it was real. It's real. Then U1 is alpha star, beta star, alpha star, mu star. Then we have gamma. Gamma 1 is I sigma 1, which is, okay, we get an overall I. Then sigma 1 is off diagonal 1. So we have an impact diagonal thing for gamma 1. There's a gamma 0 in here, sorry. Gamma 0 is 1 minus 1. Then sigma 1 is 1, 1, 1, 1. Alpha, beta, nu. So we get I. Alpha star, beta star, mu star, nu star. Then this is going to be nu, mu, beta, alpha. And then we put that in here, and we're going to get nu and mu and minus beta and minus alpha. So this is going to be I. Alpha star is nu plus beta star mu minus mu star beta plus mu star alpha. That's the thing minus this conjugate times I is real. So these things actually are real. That's good. Because we proved it. It would be bad if it wasn't real.
Sorry, is this just the correction, or is it actually you?
No, that's just the original you.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Let's look at the correction. So, delta U0, U0 prime minus U0, that's this piece here. Where to go? Here.
Yep.
So, beta. No surprise there. Okay, then we have psi bar is alpha star, beta star, mu star, nu star. Then, gamma 0, gamma 0, those go away. Then we have a gamma I, gamma, which I? Wait a minute. Where'd that I come from? There's an NDAT signal up here.
Get ready to take more pictures. So, it's not him.
there's a plus and plus. M is plus and minus. That's the problem right there. This line is just wrong.
So, we just get two of these. This is 2 times that matrix. Well, that matrix is minus I times Ni gamma I. That's what we need. Let me just do this again. So, this one's right. This is ui plus theta ni u0. U0 prime is now, all right, we got u0, and then we need phi bar I theta over 2 here. Then this commutator is minus 2i ni gamma I is u0, 2's cancel, I times minus I leaves us plus beta n dot gamma. That's a boost in the n direction. We got it exactly here without going into the component. This is exact. So, one more step here. And there's a theta and I phi bar gamma I phi. That's u zero plus theta n dot u.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the u comes out, and if we just end up with a matrix times u. That's the right matrix times u. So homework exercise, do another. So forget all this stuff over here. We didn't need to do this. Okay, so recap. Rod's conceptual picture here. What do we got? This actually works for a general boost. A general infinitesimal boost. We could do a general infinitesimal rotation, and you can see that the signs would probably come in the right places. But for a Lorentz transformation, we have a relationship. It's actually a 1-2 relationship between this and our e to the half w alpha beta, sigma alpha beta. Because phi prime is e to 1/2 w alpha beta, sigma alpha beta, phi, u alpha prime is phi prime bar gamma alpha phi prime. That turns out being lambda alpha beta phi bar gamma alpha phi is lambda alpha beta u alpha. But notice that a transformation that takes phi to minus phi, suppose this factor is minus 1, which it can be. It's just like spinning, right? You have to go around twice here. You go around once, and this is the same because it's quadratic in phi. Phi prime and minus phi and minus phi is the same vector, even though the spinner is different. So that's how we get the 2-to-1 coverage. So this thin one tree representation gives us twice as many transformations as the regular Lorentz matrices that act on real 4-vectors. The usual picture with any two-to-1 doctrine. And we've shown that this really does, you know, the two factors of the matrix generated by the sigmas really does give a boost, we showed, an infinitesimal boost. But if you can do the infinitesimal ones, then the exponentials follow just by taking any of them. We've seen that often enough that we know it works.
I think you're... indices are incorrect on the bottom two.
Oh, yeah. The last two steps actually is right.
Can we also recap the different spaces we have? So the U's are the easiest. They're four.
Those are
Minkowski 4-vectors.
Space time 4-vectors. Minkowski 4-vectors.
Okay.
Okay. So where did we start? Did we start just defining a Clifford algebra last time? I think we said okay. Give me some matrices that satisfy this anti-commutation relation.
Okay.
We outlined a series of exercises that you'll have fun doing that show that here's the defining relationship for those.
Right.
So alpha and beta run, you know, let's say 0, 1 of the, you know, n-dimensional Minkowski space. Make it as big as you like. It doesn't even have to be Minkowski. You can still do this. if n is the dimension of your original Minkowski space, this series of exercises is sufficient to show that, if you generalize them, like talk to Juan, he's going to generalize them. That the gamma, the matrices that satisfy that have to be at least 2 to the n over 2 by 2 to the n over 2 matrices.
Okay.
All right. So, you know, suppose we're in 7 dimensions instead of 4. So, let's say 8 dimensions instead of 4. Then 2 to the n over 2 is 2 to the 8 over 2. 2 to the 4th is 16. So, we have some 16 by 16 matrices that satisfy this relationship for our 8-dimensional Minkowski space. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's big, but they're simple matrices. In any case, we take the commutators of those 16 by 16 matrices, and they form a representation of the Lorentz group. They satisfy the Lie algebra of the 071 Lorentz group.
Okay.
Lorentz generators. You know, the M's with the four
asymmetrized
things. Yeah, they satisfy the exact same commutation relation.
Okay.
But it's a 16-dimensional representation of the same group. It turns out it's the covering group. That it turns out it's simply connected. It's a 2-to-1 cover, as we've just seen here. But you exponentiate those matrices, you get some 16-dimensional transformation matrices, in general, they're complex. What do they act on? They act on some complex 16-dimensional vectors.
Okay.
Those are the spinners. Those are the 071 spinners.
Okay.
Right? Spin 71 is what I just described. So, you know, the fact that these are 4-dimensional and space-time is 4-dimensional is a total fluke of low numbers. You know, it's just...
Right.
You know, 2 to the n over 2 happens to be n.
Okay.
You know, how often does that happen?
Okay. So we're acting, so our gammas are acting on our size, which are just our 4-dimensional
spinners.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah. So there are two spaces, and they're corresponding tensors. They're, we're talking about two vector spaces. The real space-time vector space and the complex vector space of the spinners. And then we're talking about transformations that act on those vector spaces. Mm-hmm.
a vector space that the group acts on is called a representation of the group. So this gives us a linear representation of the group, and you know, this is what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, those lambdas are a linear representation of FS31 and the exponentials of sigmas.
Yeah,
come on in. You'll like this. We're doing representations over here.
Oh,
these are
easy.
Sam wants to know about irreducible representations. I just talked about it in E&M today.
Really?
Well, we're doing spherical harmonics and multiple expansions.
Oh,
and,
I see.
You know, well, what are the spherical harmonics? They're the irreducible representation of rotational tensors.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm just understanding them in the last week or so.
Okay. Well, make yourself comfortable. I think we're pretty well finishing up here. Are there other questions?
Juan, you look very puzzled.
Where do the like the two component spinners come into these drives?
SO3.
Okay.
Okay. So SO3, the covering group is spin 3, turns out to be isomorphic to SU2. And so you can come up with some anti-commuting matrices. So to find spin 3, right, SO3, you're interested in rotation, three-dimensional spatial rotation. So we're going to go to spin 3. What we need to do is we need to find some matrices that anti-commute to give Planck's Kronecker delta. Well, guess what they are.
Right.
Now we exponentiate the commutator to Pauli matrices. Well, convenient thing, that another Pauli matrix just with a funny coefficient. So we exponentiate the Pauli matrices. Those are the sigma ADs.
Okay.
And we get SE2. That probably wasn't an I.
Okay.
Okay. So what do those act on? 2 to the n over 2, well, greatest integer less than, and 3 over 2 is 1. 2 to the 1 is sufficient. Usually odd dimensions, gamma 5, will serve as the extra one.
Okay.
So we generate SU2 from SO3 the same way. Now, there is a relationship here because SO3 is a subgroup of this. SE2 is a subgroup of that,
mm-hmm.
Right? And so there's some little two-component piece of this that looks like spin up and spin down.
Mm-hmm.
There are two such pieces. So here's Dirac for you. Particles, antiparticles, right?
Okay.
Dirac looked at the physical properties, as we will, of the four components of this thing. He realized that two of the components are spin up and spin down and look just had the charge of the electron, and two of them look for all the world like the electron. The other has the opposite charge, opposite spin transformations. Everything just flips into their negative energy state. What are they? They're electrons traveling backwards in time.
Okay.
We call them positrons because we go the other way. So that's exactly how the two component spinners fit in. Now, I gave a long tirade on this last time. Matt Urey made a big deal about how fundamental the two-component spinners are. Nah, not. Probably the handedness of the weak interaction, which he argues tells you that two-component spinners are more fundamental, actually happens by symmetry breaking of some bigger group that has Dirac spinners in it. Or even 16-component spinners in some higher dimension that break down into four sets of four, and some of those break into two sets of two,
mm-hmm.
And some of the transformations then get lost by further symmetry breaking, and that makes it handed. But within the Dirac spinners, you can construct in four dimensions and certain other dimensions, you can construct projection operators that give you the left and right-handed pieces in a principled way.
So they're sitting there inside this giraffe thing, mm-hmm. and perfectly capable of stuff on a sinister dragging
right.
in a parody violating way. That's probably, I think, what happened.
Okay.
So I'm not too worried about it. In fact, I'm skipping straight to Dirac and we'll...
That's what I was wondering.
We'll project.
I read...
Yeah. Read the chapter backwards.
Okay.
Hold the book upside down. Okay.
No, just read backwards in time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Anti-read. I pretend I'm reading in Arabic. Started back.
Well, you know, he writes from right... to the last two, and after all these years living in the United States, every time I pick up a book, I still will open up the, the end of the book first. Usually different than
Scrooge, you're well read.
No, she likes reading the ending first. That's why. So.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's because I want to become president. You know, George Bush used to read the opposite too. I mean, there's a...
He even holds binoculars back.
So I'm doing that because I want to become president. But I can no longer say that this will bomb it.
Yeah, really, now you have to win a Nobel Prize.
Yes. That was shocking.
Well, it was a surprise.
Yeah.
I mean, anyone gets a lot of rewards for not being George Bush, I think.
That's exactly what the people from Europe, CNN from Europe, was
saying. I mean, his response was entirely appropriate.
Yeah.
I mean, not to turn down a Nobel Peace Prize, but really, you know, this is sometimes awarded, as he says, for, you know, building momentum to accomplish goals. And in that sense, he accepts.
I think the important thing is that none of us know who the other nominees were. Maybe they were just a bunch of dirtbags.
There were 205, and there were a lot of good people.
And one of them was Morgan, the Sweden guy, whatever, the guy from, he was going against Robert Mugabe in Zimbabwe, yeah. He was a close runner.
There were a lot of good people on the list.
I haven't seen the list.
Look at the different atmosphere towards world politics that Obama projects. I mean, you know, the United States, you know, 8 years ago, we had, you know, it would have been such a time for the United States to take world leadership, to step out and, you know, do the right thing with the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, instead what we did was, you know, retreat into a narcissistic, aggressive, attack anybody whose stuff I want.
This is exactly what the European lady was saying. She said the Europeans gave this to Obama to celebrate the end of Bush administration. They are so happy. Because I don't think anybody has suffered as much as the politicians have, because they are the people who are in direct relationship. I mean, you only hear everything on news. If you don't like it, you turn it off. But they cannot do that.
You've got to answer this. So, back to topic. Any other questions?
So, it spins me exactly as you do then, in this case?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Exactly. Okay.
Yeah. The spin groups are a Clifford algebra construction of the covering groups of the pseudo orthogonal groups. But they fall within the general classification of groups. And as such, they're probably all isomorphic to some group with another name. So, for example, the covering group of the conformal group is Fu isomorphic to Fu 2, 2. It's spin 4, 2, but it's isomorphic to Fu 2, 2. And you find they're not all unitary groups, but they are all grouped by some other name. Because the groups have been classified. Names like A, B, C, D, E, just like our tongue. So, I promised you some...
Thank you.
Let's see. So, what is the question?
Okay,
lecture last one.
Yeah.
Actually, I turned it off.
Like, I don't know.
I pressed press record for the last Wednesday's lecture. Until I looked at it, and I was like, "Shut the fuck up, man." But I did record. I did like record the lecture on Friday. Yeah, I don't want to make the same mistake.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
My mistake. I wanted to.